In these videos, we often mention the place San Giovanni Rotondo. But how did Padre Pio end up in that place, that is now, thanks to him, so famous?
Ave mundi spes Maria.
Welcome to our YouTube channel Following Padre Pio, about the Capuchin monk, mystic, and miracle worker whose intercession is still very powerful and active today. We publish videos 3 times a week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so follow us to find out more about the life of this fascinating saint, and you will be amazed at what Padre Pio can do for you, a family member, or a friend. Padre Pio made a tremendous impact on San Giovanni Rotondo. Not only did he influence the spiritual lives of the locals and the friars, but because of him, the whole infrastructure of the village changed. For example, if it wasn't for Padre Pio, San Giovanni might not have the hospital it has today. But how did Padre Pio end up there? In today's video, we take a look at circumstances that led to Padre Pio's relocation from the convent of Foggia, where he was initially placed, to San Giovanni Rotondo. This story begins in 1916. It was summer, which is the worst season in Foggia. The town, located only 76 meters or approximately 250 feet above sea level, was a furnace in the summer. For someone like Padre Pio, who came from a more temperate region, the heat and the smoke coming from the local wildfires was becoming hard to endure, as this letter to Father Benedetto shows. "I have a bad headache, and sometimes I cannot organize my thoughts because of the heat." Now, in July, the feast of Saint Anna would take place, to whom the church of the convent was dedicated. In preparation, a novena open to the public was held. Every year, a priest from outside was invited to preach during the novena. And the guest that year was Father Paulino, who held Father Pio in great esteem. Father Paulino was shocked by the health condition of Padre Pio, who was barely able to stand up. His situation was truly worrying. Something needed to be done. But what? For starters, get him out of that furnace. So at the end of the novena, Father Paulino invited Padre Pio to spend some time in San Giovanni Rotondo. There he could at least breathe some fresh air, more charged with oxygen, as is the case in mountainous regions. According to Maria Winowska, it was a village nestled in a vortex of painful and sad gorges, about 30 kilometers from Foggia. In addition to breathing healthier air, Padre Pio could keep company with the few friars who had not been drafted into the army. First, however, he needed to convince Padre Pio, who quickly objected. "And the provincial? What will he say if I go with you?" And what could he say? First of all, you need to know that for a few days you do not need the permission from the provincial. In the case of neighboring convents such as Foggia and San Giovanni Rotondo, permission from the local superior is sufficient. Also, you are not going to stay, you're just passing through for a few days in search of a little relief away from the suffocation. Padre Pio finally accepted, and as soon as he arrived, he felt relieved. It seemed to him as if he had been reborn. After returning to Foggia, Padre Pio wrote to his superior, "I come to ask for your mercy, and I ask for it all the more because Jesus encourages me. The grace I ask of you is to allow me to spend one season in San Giovanni Rotondo, where Jesus assures me that I will get better." He received a positive response. So on November 4th, 1916, Padre Pio left Foggia forever. The new environment does him so much good that in a short time he could feel the difference. Father Paulino said, "He breathed with pleasure the fresh air of the mountains that surrounded the convent and no longer felt that drowsiness and heaviness that oppressed him in the suffocating climate of Foggia. His whole person was visibly reborn." In the nearly empty convent, he helped the friars, confessed to them, prayed with them, fought against the devil, and offered himself to God as a sacrifice for them. In the beginning, he came up against a certain distrust, which he overcame and completely won their hearts. His teaching chair for us, writes Father Federico, was the chapel, where he spent long hours on his knees in prayer, his right hand always cruising through a large rosary attached to the string. He would leave the choir at midnight to continue his conversations with God in his room. One sees how important prayer is to develop one's spiritual life, not smartphones or Netflix, but prayer. How many of our problems would be sorted if we only prayed more? Now, by this time, Padre Pio was already diagnosed with tuberculosis. It seems that the heat and smoke were not the only things troubling his health. But despite the disease and the life expectancy predicted by the doctors, he was still alive. And none of those who lived with him had died from the disease, nor had they experienced any of the symptoms. This in itself could be considered a sort of miracle. Together with fellow friars, he took care of those who sought help. Thus, an increasing number of interested people started pouring into his confessional, so much that quite often this completely occupied his mornings. Just imagine the volume of people coming to Padre Pio for confession, if he spent all morning in the confessional, and his average confession time was 3 minutes. And may I remind you that this was before 1918, so before Padre Pio received the visible stigmata. This was before he became famous. Padre Pio's approach was very simple, traditional, and above all practical. He would teach the elementary principles of the Christian life, and he encouraged the habit of prayer. With the arrival of Padre Pio, a new hope, a new mentality, a new vital force is reborn in that environment where the population lived in religious abandonment. Little by little, recalls Mr. Micitelli, a local from San Giovanni, the people of the village became aware of the newcomer and discovered in his face, in his walk, in his speech, in his celebration of Mass, something new, or maybe it was something ancient. Simple folk don't ask themselves many questions. They follow their intuition. And that is the advantage of these simple folk. They sense the extraordinary nature of that friar in need of pure air and of God as a gift from heaven to the church, who itself also needed fresh air. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, click the reminder bell, and share with your friends to help promote our channel. But the best way to get involved in our Padre Pio apostolate is to enroll your Mass intentions for next Friday's Padre Pio Holy Mass. Just click the link in the description below. Check out the videos on the end screen and stay tuned for the next video on the life of Padre Pio.